Beloved, remembered by God and remembering both the call and the promise of God. The everlasting love of the Father, the gift of the Son, and the strength of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is a reading from Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among the scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, by the watercourses and in the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall free them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 95 responsively. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with songs.
For you, Lord, are a great God, a great ruler above all gods.
In your hand are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Glory to the Father and the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit and wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and domination, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Christ the King Sunday. The last Sunday in the church year, we always celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. And the kingly image that the Bible uses in so many different passages is that image of the shepherd king. And to be honest with you, I love this image of the shepherd king caring for his people, leading them to green pastures and fresh water. The image of the royal king with his flowing robes and watching his loyal subjects from afar is also an image of Christ the King. But this shepherd king image that we see in the first reading from Ezekiel is the image that we get today. God will care for his flock. God will make sure that flock is cared for. He will seek out the lost and the weak, and he will give us justice for breakfast. This is a comforting image. There are days that I just want to crawl up into the arms of that God and be held in safety and in peace. I'm sure you have days like that too. But on this feast of Christ the King this year, we get a different image of the King. The good news from Matthew's gospel jolts us out of that green pasture and stands us up before the judgment bench. This is the image of Christ the King that I'm a little less comfortable with. We do like to think of Jesus caring for us. Judging us, not so much. These two aspects, though, of Christ the King are in tension in our scriptures today, and they do make us struggle. That first image of the shepherd king in the book of Isaiah or Ezekiel, and then this image of the judging king in the book of Matthew. There is a tension between that openness of Jesus' unconditional love, that welcome, that caring on the one hand, and on the other hand, we hear this language of judgment, sheep and goats, insiders and outsiders, the righteous and the condemned. The good news of Jesus is that he absolutely invites everyone who will eat with him to come to his table. And that invitation is open to all. Matthew says, all the nations, the good and the bad, everyone is invited. We all are invited to be in God's kingdom. And the kingdom is not this happily ever after, sometime later. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is something that starts right now. The kingdom is a living. It's living a certain kind of life, kingdom life, baptized life, walking wet. The kingdom is about community, about relationship. Jesus says, anyone who hears my word and does my word is my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. Anyone who is baptized has been called to be in that family, in that relationship with God. We are invited to be in a relationship with Jesus and the God who created us, and we are also invited to be in relationship with one another. Jesus invites us to be family, to be his brothers and sisters, and to be brothers and sisters to one another, to be God's beloved people. And how we live does make a difference. The story that Jesus tells about the sheep and the goats says that it makes a difference today, and it makes a judgment day difference. How we live does make a difference. Have you ever played that party game where everyone gets a name pinned on their back, maybe the name of a famous person, and then you mingle in the party and try to figure out whose name you are by asking questions, and people are trying to figure out from you what name it says on their back by asking particular questions and stuff. Well, I've played a variation of that game where rather than the name of a person, the secret identity tag is a role or a status. So instead of saying Michael Jackson, on the back it might say king or servant or beggar. So a role instead. And the way you guess what your role is by how people treat you. And how you treat others as the role that it says on their back. done this with confirmation class. And at the end of, after everyone has figured out what their secret identity is, then we ask this question. What would it be like to live in a world where everyone, especially those people who had been treated like trash or ignored, what would it be like to live in a world where everyone was treated as if the sign on their back said king? What would it be like for you to live among people who treated everyone as if the sign on their back said Christ the King? What would it be like to live in a church community where every Christian knew that their life's calling was to treat people in such a way that they could guess that the sign on their back said King? That's the invitation to us today. That's the vision that we are called to claim is ours until it is true in all the world. Could we really allow the Christ child, a baby born as king, one anointed by God, to be the judge of all nations, to die of malaria in infancy in Africa? Do you know that this child is Christ the King? And do you know how little it would take to see him grow up and be what God created him to be? Could we let a little girl spend so many hours of her day walking to bring water back to her family that she has no time to go to school? Could we watch her family suffer because the water that she carries home also carries disease? Could that happen if we love Jesus as much as we say we do? If we knew that what we did and didn't do for that family, for that infant, we did or didn't do for Jesus? Do we want to experience fellowship with Christ by feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and the imprisoned? This question is not a question for the day we stand before the judgment bench on that last day. This question is for today. It's for right now. It's certainly not about avoiding punishment. What we do, how we live in response to Jesus' invitation to be part of that kingdom, is about being family. It's about being in community. It's about living our baptism. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. The invitation is to love and care for the rest of the family as the body of Christ right now. In Ezekiel's words, the destiny of God's people since the foundation of the world is to be fed with justice. What does justice taste like in your mouth? Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite preachers of today, reflected on this parable and the promise that Jesus makes to be with us always. And she writes, "Sheep and goats alike, they thought that the king occupied one space at a time, just as they did, and that the way they behaved in his presence was really what counted. Meanwhile, that left them with lots of time to be with the other people in their lives, including the ones who did not count, the little ones, the least ones, the waitresses, the the door-to-door magazine salesman, the nursing home residents, the panhandlers, the inmates, the strangers at the grocery store. The biggest surprise of all is that such people are not unknown to the king. Jesus, who is everywhere, counts everything done for them as if it had been done for him, and everything not done for them as though it had not been done for him. What matters is how we behave when we thought God was not around, not just in church, but every day. Everyday encounters with others, with all of God's children, all who have a secret identity tag on their back that says Christ the King. We are called into a relationship. We are called to look at every other person and see Christ. There is an abundance of opportunities to show the compassion of Christ the King to the least of these, your brothers and sisters, to Christ the King, who has the face of everyone you see, of everyone in need. The good news is that when Jesus comes into our heart, he brings all of needy humanity with him. How will your love respond to Christ the King, whom you see in every other person?